Good afternoon. Today is Monday, March 26th, the 86th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the jet setter himself, Mr. Arkley.
Hello, Brian. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm moving quicker than you, and that ought to put fear into everybody.
Yeah, there's no doubt it is gout.
Yeah. do you remember your quote? I see something there in writing.
I'm all set.
You're all quoted up, and we'll find out what it is when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. But before we do, our quote.
And this is so perfectly timed. Just by accident, this one came to me. Those who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Ben Franklin. Isn't that appropriate for today of the healthcare mandate argument?
I was going to apply it to a couple of others also, but yeah, it's intriguing to see. How do you think that one's going to play out?
Well, today was an interesting day. It's 3 days of arguments. Today they basically argued, does the Supreme Court have standing to hear the case?
Because it hasn't been applied yet.
Right. And just a variety of things. Is it a tax? Is it this? If it's a tax, they haven't taxed yet, so you can't apply because it's not a refund situation. Any event.
Don't they figure that out before they go in front of the Supremes?
Well, the Supreme Court.
That it would be something that would say, yes, this is something we have jurisdiction on?
Well, everyone had ruled against it, all circuits, but there was a dissent in the Fourth Circuit that said, you know, really, we want to look at, you know, this is a genuine issue. So I think they took this issue just to put it away, not to ever have to deal with it in the future and not have law professors, because that's really those of us who are going to be impacted by Obamacare not going to care about the nuance of it. But the law professors will say, boy, if they'd argued this, it would have been a big different thing. That'll probably be a 9-0 vote in favor of the Supremes taking the case. So
So that happens first, or that
happens? That happened first today. Well, no, the ruling will not be today.
It's still down the road, and then they say yes, and then they look at it.
Tomorrow's the mandate argument, and
that's the crux.
It's a lot of it. It's a big part of the shooting match. It really is.
The interesting thing for me, well, there's a couple different levels, but is if this, then what?
Oh.
It's not nothing.
What is it?
I've learned nothing is isolated.
Yeah, what?
Everything's connected.
It is, and you're right. And you know, in 200 years of the Constitution, Congress has never thought to do this. Maybe they thought to do this, they've not done that, and now they're going to do it. Can you imagine what they'll do, emboldened by this mandate? Oh.
So the Supremes will see it. The arguments tomorrow, or hear the arguments.
Another,
tomorrow.
And then Wednesday.
And Wednesday also.
Yes.
6 months then before they have a determination?
They get out right at the end of June. They'll rule before before June.
So before the general election.
Well, no, the first Monday in October is when the next term starts. So they have to have this ruling out in late June, I would expect.
So sometime during the political season.
Correct.
It'll happen.
Yeah, and you can see each side, be it the pro-mandate, who are arguing the Citizens United case, that this is just another Citizens United and how dare everybody, or the anti-mandate people arguing another. So everyone's setting out the political landscape.
Is it that simple?
Yeah. This one's pretty simple. I really do think so. I mean, are we going, if we can tell people that you have to have Obamacare, and they're going to have a fine. And if you don't have it, it's a fine. But they're going to keep increasing the fine till they basically have exterminated the private insurance company. It's cheaper to have national insurance than the other insurance.
Was it the Office of Management and Budget, or was it the Congressional Budget Office? Somebody came out last week.
OMB.
And said, oops.
Yeah, we missed by half.
Significantly off. It's going to be much more expensive.
The part I don't understand about the health care is there are two ways to pay for an ever-expanding health care cost. What they're going to go towards, Obamacare necessarily drives you into a rationing formula. So you're not increasing supply. Demand goes out. What if you assume supply is going to, or demand is going to continue to increase because we're aging? What about driving out the number of doctors, the number of healthcare providers further out and take the curve out? Then you can flatten the curve and costs won't go up. But if you're going to not increase the supply of docs, by definition, it's going to go up. Demand's going up as we age.
It's, at least talking to the two or three folks that I know, is that there are less people getting into that arena as a profession because of things being squeezed and the uncertainty and the cost in the educational system to get to that point.
It's fascinating. A lot of the really smart that heretofore would have been pre-med students are now veterinarians. And I don't see Obamacare. And
not yet.
Not yet. But they're not regulated. And so it's far more lucrative than being a doc.
Well, and the risk and liabilities are so much less also.
It seems to be. And so at this point, the plaintiff's bar is not yet convinced that that's the case.
Not yet.
Not yet.
KINS, News and Information Times 421. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, what do you see of the future of gas prices? Are we going to go over 5, 5.5, 6?
That's an interesting question because, number one, over the next few years, regardless of what Obama does, gas prices, I believe, and natural gas prices are all coming down. We're going to get more drilling done.
Because of the American population?
I know. I just think.
Pressure, normal profit motive?
No. I think we just have so much of it domestically. And what's going to be interesting is I think we're going to have manufacturing done here in the United States because it's so proximate to the cheap fuel. Now, does that mean our manufacturing, you won't need to manufacture in China as the transportation costs become less and less, therefore the labor cost is less of a factor?
What about EPA and the environmental regulations that have been challenging?
We're going to win those fights. I mean, I just think America is so close to a tipping point on these environmental issues. It's unbelievable. People want to work. There is no reasonable substitute for oil and gas. We have so much of it. And someday something will come along that will be better. We're not even there.
So if you say we're close to the tipping point.
Of people just being mad.
Just frustration or frustration at the cost or... If it's approaching that point, what's left to get to the point?
Okay.
Just time?
Pain. The messaging of this is what the consequences of these policies are doing. And it's a pretty easy message to win because every time they go to the pump, they feel the consequences of the policies. So it's
a little bit more direct than what we've had here with some of the environmental laws that have been put in place, and now we don't have jobs.
Right. No, that's a very difficult thing to. Okay. It's just much
more upfront.
Well, this is exceedingly personal. Every time you go to the pump, it's an advertisement, and it's a wonderful messaging mechanism that the Democrats are becoming increasingly aware of, and know that there's no easy way around it.
So what is more of the solution, allowing pumping to occur?
Fracking is really wonderful, properly regulated. Natural gas is cheap. We have so many places to get oil on federal lands. I mean, part of the problem is Obama hasn't been completely forthright on the amount of drilling, like Plouffe was on the circuit yesterday on the Sunday shows. He says, we're drilling more. Well, we are drilling more nationally, but it's on state and private lands. You know what the unemployment is in North Dakota?
3?
Yeah. And
I guess I do.
Indeed you do. And so it's going to be a source of great employment and great opportunity for this country. We will be a great net exporter, again, of energy.
Let me ask a real base level question. I understand if you drill offshore and there's a leak and it gets in the water, okay, things change. If you're on land and there's a leak on the ground and it goes back into the ground, at what point does it find or liquefy or not contaminate and get back, filter back down?
Number one, I don't know the answer to that. Number two, it feels like something that our friends, the Baykeepers and the Environmental Defense Fund, would sue over. And
well, yeah, because you don't want in the water aquifers and things like that. I understand that.
That's where that deal
would
head.
But if you've got
is oil naturally coming out, being pumped out of the ground.
In the pump area.
Yeah, a true pollutant. I think it would be under the Clean Water Act, but should it be? I don't know. I mean, I just don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have oil. It's another thing to have refined gas or some of the other stuff.
You spend a fair amount of time in the Midwest.
Yes.
I've had some opinion shared about the pipeline running through the Midwest. Is it that big a deal? Is it a negative? Or is this something that's being played out on the coasts that a lot of times we just don't get the accurate reflection of the local communities?
Your last statement is exactly it. If you look at a map of the United States in which pipelines, oil pipelines along the lines of this are mapped, we look like one big red vein of pipelines. It's not anything to worry about. This certainly isn't a big deal. This was a philosophical thing that, I mean, unfortunately, what we're finding is Obama's doing everything political and not what's expedient and not what's good for our country.
KINS News and Information Times 4:31. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, what kind of status do we have with the East-West Rail? Last time we were together, you talked about the fact that that thing was starting to happen a little bit. There was some exploratory. Some of the cities and the counties were saying, yeah, maybe, feasibility study. What are you hearing?
Looking good. That one's actually looking pretty darn strong. Tehama and is it Shasta counties and Trinity. Tehama and Trinity counties, boards of supervisors are fully behind it. They may have already passed a resolution. I know I told Mark Lovelace, and he tried to rally opposition to it. Didn't work over at those counties. We are, we've gotten very.
So we got two of the three counties on board?
Yeah. And, you know, no, we're going to have Humboldt County.
Today.
Humboldt County has today, yeah. But Humboldt County's, we're going to deal with it here. The Harbor District, the same thing. City of Eureka is behind it. I think the city of Fortuna is behind it. So we're putting together the pieces. We're dealing with the private parties. Doesn't take a great, you know, deal of rocket science to figure out who the private parties are. We're talking to the Chinese about...
You mean I've been outed again?
Yes, you have.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, and that train set in your office didn't help.
But it's wooden.
Yeah. And it's coal.
Yeah.
But... No, the fact of the matter is the numbers look pretty compelling. We've done a lot of the work for it. We're talking to the Chinese about, okay, what if we had this, what changes would there be?
The infrastructure here waiting for them.
Yeah, and it's beginning to feel really, really, really good, and so it's kind of exciting.
The thing that I've had folks express doubt, concern,
grave doubts, serious
question
concerns.
About it.
Yes.
Is the right-of-way. Yeah, somebody said, I forget who it was, yeah, it's not a problem $300 million wouldn't take care of.
Well, first of all,
okay.
it's through federal land and private land. There are remarkably few landowners. I don't think the right-of-way is the significant issue that the opponents are trying to make it. You know, this is the same thing. We've dealt with it on other projects. They start out and try to cut you this way, cut you that way. And, you know, look, the fact is it polls over 80% in Humboldt County. Anyone who wants to oppose it, any politician who wants to take up a stand and oppose it, let's do it. We showed you with Marina Center what'll happen. Just let's do it here again.
Do you think it'll become a political issue for this upcoming election?
Might if it
well, you got three or five seats up for
yeah if we run it into the if there are runoffs you know it may become an issue sure will be next time but this is 1,000 to 1,500 union jobs wealth being created in this area unlike anything we've seen. Our kids will stay here. We will have a future again.
This is similar to the logging industry coming back.
Yes, and it's the first green port in the world, first green railroad route in the world. We will be creating, as part of the funding of it, the final cleanup, final one, can you believe it, of all of Humboldt Bay. So the benefits are just magnificent.
What kind of timeline? For something like this.
This will come more quickly than anyone thinks.
It's not a 10-year?
No, because the litigation isn't such that you can really extend it very long.
How long does it take to lay track?
Oh, they'd have that done in... Mm. That is months, not years.
And no blue goo?
What's blue goo?
Oh, don't tell me. You drive over it any time you leave here. You know that. What's blue goo?
Look, it goes on top of the mountain range, and you end up in the Central Valley on hard bedrock through cutover timberland.
Oh,
it's a beautiful...
See, you know.
Just thought I'd let you take another step forward.
Yeah, right. See how deep I step into that stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
Into the goo.
Yeah.
No, but it's a ultra-viable project. A lot of people are working on it. It will be... rolled out systematically. Obviously, we're not going to be the face of this project. We, frankly, have our hands full growing servicing, and that's taking an awful lot of time at Security National.
So as this percolates through, there must be significant benchmarks for this project, as there are with many projects.
We're doing a very disciplined process. First, we're getting the community support and political support to study it. We have a timeline for the studies. Then we just, it's a stair-step process. You don't go one until you get through the other. And obviously we have important players that are already expending time, effort, and money, making sure that it works. Keep in mind, this is privately funded. We're not going to ask for taxpayer dollars. We're not going to do it. So it's important. And, you know, the Headwaters Fund, I'm glad they can support the redwood industry, and that's important. That's a very important part of our economy. But the benefits of this rail and port dwarf the redwood industry. So I hope that they can put politics aside and help fund the study.
KINS, News and Information Times, 441. We'll be back with more from Rob Arkley.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 445. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rob Arkley. Rob, you were in Louisiana.
Yes.
The last little bit. I can tell you've got a tan.
I do. It was nice down in the South, yeah. Let me tell you. Sharon, I loved it.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I emailed with you regularly.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that we're seeing the political race being as elongated as it is. Is that good, do you think, or not? I can see both sides. It's been how many years since there's been a convention where they found, at that point, or arrived at the candidate? It's kind of nice that California might actually sort of count.
Right.
But on the flip side, it seems like it's very, very expensive. That things aren't really, there's a lot of nastiness going on right now.
Well, there's unfortunate name calling going on, and that's not good. Wish Rick Santorum would stop that.
Oh, and where did Newt go?
Who?
I last 2 weeks, he's just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, he's mad and he's humiliated, but and Ron Paul is about the same way. Rick is just he's enjoying what he's doing. He likes running for president. He's having a great time.
The spotlight.
Yeah, I wish he'd stop some of the vitriolic stuff and aim them towards the president and Biden. That's going to happen soon, and it's going to be fun. And right now, the one thing my assessment is. Boy, is the president off balance. He is being peppered from all sides, and he's changing positions. He's off balance. It's kind of reminiscent of what Bill Clinton did to George H.W. Bush. Obama reminds me of H.W. Bush.
If Herman was still involved, would it have the same attitude?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there have to be winners and losers, and when you're running for the nomination, there can only be one. So I don't think he would have changed. I think he was the flavor. He came, he went, and onward you go. And so, as Bachman did, as
Bachman never showed up.
Yeah, she won Iowa somehow, something.
Well, look, a caucus is not a delegate.
Obama got the nomination for the Democrats by doing well in caucuses as opposed to popular vote. I think Hillary had more popular votes than he did. So,
as you see this play, how much longer do you think it's going to last? 2-3 weeks? Do you think it'll make it to the middle of May?
Boy, you're asking some really spectacularly wonderful questions. I don't know. I do think...
Well, that's really, frankly, a sucky answer to a spectacular question.
Yeah, well, all right. I think by May 1, it'll be over.
All the horses are in the barn. Game's over.
I think someone will have sat Rick down and said, Rick, knock it off. You want a job someday. You want all this. You're really all in on something that morally you're tearing something apart that maybe you shouldn't be doing.
So we'll have a couple of months before either convention for things to kind of start developing momentum.
Brian, the dogs of war that are going to be released on Obama, I don't think people understand. He has such.
Do you anticipate coming the other way also?
No, because he doesn't have a track record to defend. Romney doesn't. Healthcare is it. Obama has a line out the door, different positions, and he's being vetted from every different angle. It's going to be really something that he's not. He's starting to anticipate what it is, and he started campaigning too soon. He'd have been better off. Obama would have been better off if he hadn't gone into campaign mode.
Any sense nationally that those arguments, those discussions will trickle down to local, not congressional and senatorial races, but to local?
It's a little early to know. People are not quite as mad, but that gas price is something, and watch for the fabric of the argument to starting to be floated out.
State budgets are being set, though, now.
Boy.
And we're starting to sense all these train wrecks all over the country.
13.5% tax rate for California. That's what Jerry Brown wants.
I would think that would be a tough sled to
ride. Well, I think Californians will have not a problem with that. Slap it to the wealthy, and who cares? You know, the fact that you're seeing a hand waving goodbye in the back of the
the Maserati on the way out.
Yeah. With the luggage rack.
Yeah. Well, it. And the horns in the front. Don't forget the whole nine yards. Yeah. Only with duct tape. Only here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by,
bud. Thank you, buddy.
We've been talking shop with Rob Arkley. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.